Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. We have been told that we are to leave Banker Island and go back to Sumatra. This is exceedingly good news, as there has been nothing but tragedy and sadness ever since we came here. Tomorrow is supposed to be moving day, but so far there is no sign of activity on the part of the Japs. In fact, if anything, there is more a sign of permanency. This morning, a truck came into camp, and for a little while there was great excitement.
I say, Jeff, have you seen what's arriving?
Well, I saw a truck come in. What are they bringing in, Trot?
You'll never believe it, but there are some chairs, an old battered piano, 6 goats, and a few fowls and some pigs.
Well, what in heaven's name for?
I can't think. But surely we haven't got to cart them with us when we leave.
Oh, I shouldn't think so. Oh. Drat it. It's not time for Tenko.
Perhaps this is to tell us that we'll be leaving in 5 minutes. Piano, goats, fowls, and the lot.
Tenko! Tenko!
There is to be an inspection by important official sometime in next few days. He come from the office of foreign minister.
Sounds impressive.
He bring messages from Tokyo and Red Cross goods for prisoners.
And about time.
The camp will be cleared of weeds. Small bridges must be put over gutters and the blocks will be made respectable.
I didn't know we weren't respectable.
Oh, shut up,
dear. All must be in readiness immediately. That is all.
He still didn't say what the piano, goats, pigs and fowls, etc. are for.
General decorations, Trot. Well, you better use a bit of spit and polish in the hospital. That's sure to be inspected.
We'll have the place gleaming, absolutely gleaming.
Val? Val, is Steady awake?
No, Jeff. She's semi-conscious. Why, what's the matter?
Well, I was only going to tell her the news of the day. I thought it might amuse her.
What's happening?
We're to have an inspection by a very brass hat. And a piano and various livestock have arrived in camp.
Good grief! What for?
Oh, the Lord only knows. I thought we were supposed to be leaving tomorrow. But it doesn't look as if we will.
It's all right, old thing.
Is that you, Val?
Yes, Steady. And Jeff has come to see you, too.
Not very good today, Jeff. Won't be walking out. Oh, won't be going out at all.
Oh, don't be silly, old thing. Of course you will.
I'm sorry taking so long to die. Terribly sorry to be a nuisance.
Steady.
So sorry. Would like to have got it over.
She's out again. Oh, this is terrible. But she'll get better, Jeff, won't she? Once we get away from this place, she'll get better. Dear God, she must get better.
But Blanche Hempstead didn't get better. She died half an hour later. And we had to go on scrubbing and scouring, weeding and stacking wood, so that everything would be shipshape for some nasty little official to look at. We worked with heavy hearts when we thought that tomorrow we would be on our way, away from here, with Steady. If only she could have lasted the distance. We now number only 29.
Poor old Val. This has been pretty hard on her.
Yes. First Ray and now Steady. Poor kid.
Oh, those poor goats. They look as half-starved as we do.
Where have they been put, Ioli?
Behind the hospital. I've tried to do my best for them, poor things. I love goats.
I don't see how you could love those scraggy-looking specimens.
Don't be unkind, Jeff. They're very nice goats. I suppose I'd better find out what to do next.
You could give us a hand with this sweeping. Val's been taken away to move the piano.
We certainly get variety round here. Trot! Jeff!
Tango!
Tango! Trot, are you in there? Jeff!
What is it, Ioli? We're here in the hut.
You'd better hurry. We're being called to Tango. His high and mightiness from the Foreign Minister's office is about to arrive.
Are you sure, Ioli?
Certain.
Then stand aside.
Trot, what are you doing?
Goodness sake, what are you getting your uniform down for?
I'm going to put it on. I borrowed a veil, and I intend to go on duty in the hospital looking like a real sister. I'll show them.
Doesn't fit very well anymore, does it? Here, pull the belt in a bit. We can sort of blouse the top out over it.
Oh, don't pull it too tight. It won't stand up to too much rough handling, you know. Now the veil.
You look very chic for an internee. You ought to make a really good impression.
Oh, we better hurry, Zitenko. If we're late, there'll be all sorts of trouble. We waited and waited. And then at last, with a flourish of car tooters, about 9 huge cars arrived in camp. Out stepped the big shot and about 16 friends. They walked straight to the far end of the camp and back, taking bows from the women and children of each block as they passed them. The Japanese then climbed back into their cars and departed. They didn't go inside the blocks, didn't sight the hospital, the goats, or the piano, or the little bridges. The whole inspection took about 10 minutes.
What's happened? Where's this high official?
He came, he saw, he left.
You mean he's gone?
That's right, Trot.
Oh, and I got all dressed up like this and nobody saw me. Well, that's a bit much.
He brought a message all the way from Tokyo to us.
Oh, then he did make a speech.
No, we were told after he'd gone.
And what did they have to say in Tokyo?
I quote, "My kind regards to the women and children, and I'll give them a present when they get to their new camp."
Condescending devil. They love treating us as kids.
No doubt the present has been sent for us from America. What about the Red Cross goods? Did they bring those?
No. He said he'd send those to the new camp and save us carrying them.
Oh, I've never heard such cheek.
At the moment, the Nips are busy removing the chairs, pigs and fowls.
Well, what about your goats, Ioli?
They're to stay. They're not worth taking.
Which reminds me, I must take them out for their walk. See you later.
What does Ioli mean, take the goats for their walk?
Well, haven't you seen her? She leads them around on bits and pieces of rope and string of rag and lets them browse. She even tries to milk the poor things. From a distance, she looks as if she's taking her large dogs for an airing.
Oh, as if she hasn't enough to do. She's the most kind-hearted person, isn't she?
She certainly is.
Oh, dear. I wish we could get out of here. There's a terrible feeling of hopelessness here that it's awfully hard to overcome.
Jeff! Trot! Dr. McDowell wants us immediately.
Why? What's happened, Val?
Shirley's collapsed very suddenly.
Oh, no.
Come on, quickly.
Shirley Gardam from Tasmania died. It was very sudden, a matter of minutes only. It's knocked us all sideways. As Shirley always loved flowers so much, we managed to get quite a lovely bunch of wildflowers, and the girls are busy arranging them for her now. And Mickey Sire will sing her favorite hymn, The Captive's Hymn, written by Margaret Driver.
Father in captivity, we would lift our prayer to thee. Grant us courage, charity, greater faith, humility, readiness to own thy will. Be we free or captive still. For our loved ones we would pray, be their guardian night and day. From all danger keep them free, banish all anxiety. May they trust us to thy care. Know that thou our pains dost share. For our country we would pray, in this hour be thou nations loving thee. All the world may brothers be, cleansed by suffering, no rebirth. See thy kingdom come.
Four days after Shirley died, the first group from our camp left for Sumatra. If only the Japanese had kept their word and we'd left last month, Shirley Gardam may have come too. On the 12th of April, the second group of prisoners started off in the rain on the 3 days' trek to Lobok Lingau. They were the hospital patients, the rest of the Australian sisters, and about 100 other people. Those remaining in camp were to follow us in 4 days' time. What a business. 6 people were desperately ill, some of them unconscious, and in spite of the doctors begging the Japs to let them stay until the last party left, they had to travel that day. They obviously had only a few hours to live, and it seemed criminal to move them. And what a way to transport sick people. We were told to be ready at 6 a.m. and waited until 11 before we left in the pouring rain in open trucks. We were driven at the usual breakneck speed to the pier, and there the stretcher patients had to be unloaded and put on the grass under some trees. It was the only shelter from the rain. It was ghastly. One Dutch woman died there.
Oh, now what? The Nip's going to provide stretcher bearers?
Listen to Blanchie. Stretcher bearers. We'd lie here and rot before the Nip's would think of doing that for us.
We'd better make up a squad ourselves. Who's strong enough?
I am.
And me, that's two. Well, we'll want about six to cope.
Do we make for the end of the pier, or what happens to us? Does anyone know?
Walking patients will have to get to the pier under their own steam, Jeff.
Oh.
Ioli and I are just starting to make up a stretcher-bearer team for the rest.
Sorry I can't help you with the carrying. But I'd be more nuisance than I'm worth. See, you two don't do all the work.
We'll be all right. You worry about yourself.
She looks terrible, doesn't she, Blanchie?
She's a sick girl. Well, we'd better round up the others. There's Wilmer and Viv and Val Smith over by the truck. They may be able to help.
We struggled on a few yards, then had to rest again. It did take hours to get to the end of the pier. The Jap soldiers stared with horror at the pitiful, long, strung-out file of weary and terribly ill people. But they did nothing to help. When at last we got there, we were helped into a little launch by Sister James and Ioli, the two smallest women among us. They also managed to get the stretcher patients aboard this awkward, bumping little launch without dropping them in the water. When the launch was full, it went off tossing and bumping about until we came alongside an old wooden hulk of a thing, rather like a small coastal cargo boat.
Well, here we are. I hope they tie us in nice and close.
So this is the big boat Seeky promised us.
It must be, Jeff.
Well, all I can say is he doesn't know much about ships.
We'll get the walking patients out first, Blanchie.
Uh-huh.
That'll give us more room to handle the stretchers.
Right, Ioli.
Oh, thank heavens it stopped raining.
Come on, Jeff, you first.
Ollie, get both under order. All stretchers to go on deck. Others to go below deck. Down this hatch. Polly, down.
That'll be nice for us. Down in the hold.
It's still better than swimming.
How are you getting on down there? Oh, Lummy.
Who's that?
Me, Val Smith.
Oh, Val, this is awful down in this hole.
What are you sitting on, Jeff?
We're not sitting. We're sort of kneeling on crawling rice sacks. There's no room for our legs.
Oh, it's like a furnace down here.
Well, I'm coming out. I don't care where I go, but I can't stand this. Sorry. Look, if I could just get my foot there. Oh, thank you.
Now, mind that little girl.
Oh, that's it.
I can't see myself staying down here for 24 hours. Anyway, it's not fair to these people.
Here, grab my hand. Well, why isn't it fair?
I've got dysentery and they haven't yet.
This top slip is loose.
I'm all right.
Oh, I don't know where you're going to put yourself. The deck is so tight to stretches.
Oh, poor wretches. They would be facing the glaring sun.
Oh, we've been trying to find something to protect them, but there's nothing.
Oh, look up there.
Where? What at?
See that little ledge? There. Right under the ship's bridge, see?
Yes.
Well, that's for me. I'll tell Pat Blake she's down in that stinking hole. There's room for two of us, I think.
You go on up there. I'll tell Pat.
Thanks.
What are you two doing up there?
This is our perch, Trot. If you get a chance, come up for a rest. There's room for four.
Well, it doesn't look as if there's room for a sparrow. Oh, isn't it frightfully hot?
Yes, but it is everywhere.
I'll come up later on.
I'm going up now for a spell.
Oh, that's good, Ioli. You've worked like a nigger.
Well, you haven't done too badly yourself, Trot.
Are you coming up, Ioli?
Yes, Jeff.
Oh, here, I'll give you a leg up.
Will you?
Thanks.
Mind your step. Pretty narrow.
I wish I was a mountain goat.
Here, give me a hand.
Oh, I'm right. Well, this is palatial. Must be at least 4 feet square.
Can you find room?
Hello, Pat. Yes, Jeff, I'm fine. Oh, Jeff, it's good to sit down.
You've all been Britons. How you could get all of us on board without any accidents. Then turn to and nurse everyone, I just don't know.
There's not much we can do in the way of nursing. There's not a thing we can use as BPs, and the women on the stretchers are just too ill to move.
Oh.
It's utterly inhuman to have brought them on this trip.
I know.
Oh, Jeff, do you remember the English lass that said a while back that if she died in captivity, she'd like to be buried at sea?
Yes.
I think she will be. She can't last very much longer.
Oh, Ioli.
Ioli!
Oh.
Ioli, where are you?
Up here, Val, with Jeff.
Oh, well, I'll come up.
Move up a bit.
Right.
So she can get a footing.
Hey, what's this? The crow's nest?
Be careful of the last bit. It's tricky.
Oh, look, I won't come right up. I just wanted to tell Ioli that we found some BPs with handles that we can use.
Oh, Val, I'll come right down.
Well, where did they get them from, Val?
The Dutch nuns got them on board. I don't know where they came from.
And with handles? Then I can drag them in the sea. Look out, Val, I'm coming down.
Now, wait a bit till they get out of the way.
I'm coming too, Ioli. May be able to help.
You stay where you are, Jeff. We don't want you a complex.
Well, I can do something. I'm much better now.
Hang on, Captain, down here.
Yes.
I can go overboard.
As long as I live, I will never forget Ioli emptying and dragging bedpans in the sea. She tied a piece of rope to the handle. Then she climbed onto the 6-inch ledge that ran round the outside of the ship. Pat Blake and I held her by the hand and arm while she tossed the BP into the sea and dragged it. The jerk every time nearly pulled her into the water. I can't remember how often she did this, but it must have been at least 50 times. If ever anyone deserved a Victoria Cross, Ioli did. Later in the afternoon, we were having a rest on our ledge when Blanche climbed up to us.
Ioli! Jeff!
Yes?
Yes, Blanche?
We need your help.
What's happened?
The English lass has died.
Oh.
We have to bury her at sea.
We'll come down.
Have we got anything to bury her in?
There's some sacking, and I think some canvas. Val's getting what she can.
And we want some weights.
Weights?
Listen.
Something heavy.
Have not got it.
But you must give us something. Don't you realize what will happen?
Not understand. Have not got anything.
Trot.
They won't do anything. They won't help in any way. What shall we do?
We'll find something. We have to.
This is the worst thing that's happened to us. Look at it all. Blue sky, sunlight, sparkling sea. And in the middle of it, this awful black little boat full of dead and dying. Walking bone bags. Just look at it.
Stop it, Clark.
Well, aren't we? And sitting on the deck in the sun and light, we stitch a shroud. It's funny, really. Skeletons stitching shrouds.
Stop it at once, Sister Trotter.
Now, come on. We have a job to do. We must get some weights.
May the angels lead thee into paradise. May the martyrs receive thee at thy coming and take thee to Jerusalem, the holy city. May the choirs of angels receive thee, and mayest thou with the once poor Lazarus have rest everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
It seems terribly lonely for her. Just to be left in the sea.
It's what she wanted. The burial was a nightmare for us. And the worst thing was to leave that pathetic little bundle in our wake. Not even decently covered by the water. That night, four of us slept on the ledge. Ioli, Pat, Val, and I. It was very cold, and only one of us could sleep at a time. There was room for only one to curl up on her side. We anchored for the night just inside the entrance to the Musi River. Next morning, we set off at dawn, the third trip in that same hot river, and arrived at Palembang in the afternoon. We were all sunburnt to glory, thirsty and hungry after 26 hours in that awful tub. The decks were covered with dying women who still had to face the worst of the journey to Sumatra.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.